You know, as we get going this year, as we start out, and, you know, this is the time people make resolutions and all that. But, you know, we want lasting change. We want to go closer to Him. We want to grow closer to Him and do it in His strength and His power, not just in the arm of the flesh. And I just want to touch on some of that today. Let's turn over to Philippians 1, verse 3, and we'll start there. Philippians 1, verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. Now notice verse 6. I'll say, and being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you. And we are born again. We became recreated beings, brand new, completely new inside. And he didn't just patch us up, he overhauled us. He completely made us new. But whatever we look like on the outside, we still look the same. Our mind was in the same state. Our insides are brand new, but outside, you know, you look the same. But God is progressively moving us towards what He wants us to be. He takes us right where we are and moves us along. Right now, every one of us in this room, every person on the face of the earth, there's not one of us that is perfect. And we all have different sets of weaknesses and strengths. We have things we're excellent at. We have gifts from God, things that we can do very well. And then we have things that we're not so good at. We all have stuff. We're all in different places. I mean, we all know that. We all have things that we are excellent. There's things that we can do, and it just comes naturally. And there are things in our lives that doesn't come naturally, that we're not so good at. And then, you know, those are skills and things. But then this, just where we came from and where we are today in just different parts of our lives. Just all facets of you, of us as human beings, there are things that, you know, if you took the scale of everything you could possibly measure in a human being and laid it out on a chart and rated it from, you know, 0 to 100 or 0 to 10 on a decimal, whatever, everybody's different. Everybody has things that, you know, right now, you're at a certain level in certain areas of your life, and man, you've come up. Maybe there's some, you know, 10 years ago you were at a certain point, but today, man, you've come up tons. But the other areas maybe come up a little. And not any human being, we're all different if you looked at that chart. And none of us have arrived. And we're not going to arrive at the end of 2012 either. We can progress. But, you know, you think of it. God created Adam. Perfect. You ever think about what Adam looked like? I mean, this is just, you think about it. We don't know. But when you look at all the races on the face of the earth, there's a good chance, you know, with all the way everything came from him. Have you ever seen, I don't want to mention certain names, but you see certain people that have certain backgrounds and they it looks like they're a combination of a lot of people. Adam, everybody came from him, all the different people. All the different looks. Where did all that come from? It was all in Adam. You know, Asian, African, dark skin, Latino, all these different, just European, all that came from Adam. It was in there, you know, and spread out. But anyway, we don't know what Adam looked like, but he was perfect. Yet he fell. He yielded to Satan. and his children. You know, we all heard the story of Cain and Abel. Things, you know, you go on from the lineage, and people chose to serve God, some of them. Some of them chose to go away. You know, then there was the flood, basically restart with Noah. And now his children started populating the earth. And again, some people served God, some people didn't. Then you had the nation of Israel. And, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Israelites. From there, the Jewish nation came down. And then you had the Gentiles. But through all that time, there were kings. There were people that were hunters. There were people that were farmers. There were people that, you know, studied and you know, wrote books and everything. And there was people that maybe had a horrible upbringing but rose above that and came back. And all throughout history, there's just different people that have been at different levels. And different peoples have come up. People have gone down. And today, you have people that are born into horrible circumstances. But they come up a certain level. They do certain things with that. You have people that are born into great circumstances and completely squander it and go down. But when we come into this world, we are all heavily influenced by where we came into. You know, our parents. There are certain things that we're dealing with that our parents dealt with and that their parents dealt with. We wonder, why the heck am I dealing with this? Well, and you look back and say, that's the way your father or mother was, or and then their father or mother. And it just has perpetuated. And so we're given, by being born into this world, we have a certain set of circumstances that we start with. We have genetically, you know, what's been given to us by or through our parents and all that. But then we have just behaviors that we got that started, they were instilled in us from the time that we were born. And so we come into this life and we start to become aware, and you know, as a child and then grow up, and we don't even realize the things that we're dealing with that have been put in motion for generations. Yet we come, and then eventually, at one point, everyone in here, we turned our life over to God. And we all know that we're not exactly, you can just look at the Word of God. You know that you're not everything you should be. Nobody is. Jesus was, but nobody else. Nobody. I don't care who you look at. We don't know people. You don't know everything that's in their life. They may have something, one part of their life that shines, but then again, there's other parts of their life we don't know about. And it's so tempting to say, I should be here. Well, where should we be? We should be completely tens in every area. If you want to get down to should be. No, I mean, that's perfection. Anything else is not perfection. Anything else, you're deficient somewhere. But what we're tempted to do is look kind of around us and say, well, I'm here. I have this set. And we're tempted to look at the people that maybe we can see aren't where we are in certain areas and say, well, why don't you get your act together? I did that. Or you just think, why do you behave like that? I don't have any problem with the things that you are having problems with. But we rarely then look at the people above us, and they could look at us and do the same thing. And when I say above, I'm saying in certain areas that in that area, maybe they're much higher. Well, if we look at them and say, they could look at us and say, well, why don't you get your act together here and here and here? Because maybe they never dealt with certain things that we're dealing with. Because when they were born in, they never had to. They were taught a certain way, raised a certain way. Certain things weren't even an issue. They don't even think about it. They never had to overcome certain things because that's just the way it was. On the other hand, they were crippled in other areas that you never had to deal with, and you may not even know about that. So, when we come before God, we come before Him. God, here's my life. And if we don't know much, some people might think, boy, you're getting a deal, God. Here's my life. Here, I'll do whatever. God does not look on that very highly because He doesn't need a man's giftings. He made man. What He wants is just to say, God, here I am. I know I'm not all I should be, but here, you can have it. You can do with it what you want because I'm not what I should be. I know that, but nobody else is either. Nobody else is. And we're all at different levels, period. We all have, and that's why it is absolutely useless to compare ourselves with anybody else. It is completely useless. God looks at you, and I mean, He knows where you've come from and what you're dealing with. He knows why you do the things you do. He knows why all of us do the things we do, even if we don't. And there are self-help books out there, and they want to tell you basically their method and how they got over their problems, but their problems are not the same as our problems. They can't be. They're all different. They might have some things that would help us and point us and say, oh, God could use that to say, oh, there's this thing I could change. But ultimately, you cannot take somebody else's experience and change you when you are unique. And that's what, without the word of God, when we just take man's wisdom and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do this year. I'm going to change it, and this is how I'm going to come up in this area. You may go up to the next notch, but you're still broken. 2013, we're still broken if we get there. 2004, it's just, you know, we might as well just enjoy where we're at now. I'm not saying making excuses for everything we're doing wrong in our life, but the point is we're all doing stuff that's wrong, period. Everybody on the face of the earth. Nobody has it together. And the enemy, the devil, will come and say, when are you going to get rid of that? You loser. You, if you were a godly person, if you spent more time in the Word and prayer, you would be over that by now. Well, everybody on the face of the earth is dealing with something. Nobody is perfect. Nobody has reached that. But the enemy, he wants to point out the point where you're failing, when in fact, that's the definition of mankind. Everybody fails in some area. Period. But he wants to point it and say, you should do this, and condemn you and make you feel less. Like, you should be better than that in this area and ride that until you feel like you've arrived in that area, then you won't condemn yourself. But the fact is, you still have not arrived in that area. Your perspective has just changed. You think, I'm okay now. Now I don't have to condemn myself. Now you'll move on to the next area to try to work on. But the fact is that Jesus came because we needed a Savior, that in spite of our brokenness, in spite of the fact that we're all messed up to one degree or another, He came to put us right with God and say, I'll have a relationship with you in spite of you. Because I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to look at what my Son has done. He's perfect, therefore I can accept you. See, in the Old Covenant, God laid out what He said, this is what you need to do to be accepted. This is what you need to do to be blessed. He had to do that because there was no Savior. So men were judged on what they did, period. You do good, get good. Do bad, get bad, period. But in the new covenant, so you're constantly looking at what you do, not that we shouldn't try to do better, but again, everybody is broken to some degree. People that think they're not are deluded. That's pharisaical. Those are the Pharisees. They thought they were perfect. Those are exactly the people Jesus was as hard, He was harder than them, on them than anyone. Because they thought they did not need anything. The rich young ruler, he came, said, Jesus, hey, what should I do to inherit eternal life? He said, keep the commandments. He said, I've kept all of them since I was a kid. Basically, I've done it all. What do you want me to do? And he said, sell all your everything you have and give to the poor. Showed him up right there. First commandment. You shall have no other gods. He couldn't do it. He walked away sad. See, you think you see what we want to do, what religion wants to do is say, I'm here. This is the way it should be. I'm doing all right. The fact is, there is no all right. There's either Jesus or there's not. And so as Christians, we go and say, look, God, I know I'm not where I should be, but that's why Jesus came, is so that I could relate to you in spite of the fact that I messed up, and I can have a good life. And in looking at Him and walking out, that you'll make changes in me and help me to change the things that I cannot change myself. And do it for real. Not do superficial things that I'm trying to do it to look good, but that it's really coming. It's true fruit. You know? We want true fruit in 2012. Really bearing fruit that comes from our heart, that we're honoring God because we want to, and it's an outflow. Not that, well, this is how I'm supposed to behave, this is what I'm supposed to do, so I've done it. See? I'm good. It's a lie. People hold these standards up. If you look this way, you're doing well. If you have this much in your bank account, you're doing well. If you know, all these things, and people are chasing all of them. In 2012, that's why all the gyms are full in January, and it tapers off because everybody says, I got to look like that to feel good about myself. Nonsense. The only way we can really feel good about ourselves is when we look to Jesus. Look to Him and know that I'm accepted by God Almighty, who's really the only person that matters in reality, and that I am accepted just the way I am right now. That's not making an excuse for anything. That's saying, I'm okay right now. Because of you? No. Because of Jesus. Am I messed up? Yeah. Does that mean I'm the worst person? No. Does it mean the best person? No. I'm a human, and I need a Savior. And that means I can look to Him. And then He, by looking to Him and saying, no, I'm okay right now because of Him, that in 2012, then, I can move forward saying, God, I'm already accepted because of You. I'm blessed because of You. I can be blessed, not because I do everything right, because Jesus paid the price for me. So I'm blessed because He bought it. See, everything, my right standing, the fact that I can even talk to God and He listens to me is because of Jesus. He gave His Son. If you think anything, you have to earn anything, that let's say it's healing. Let's say that I have to add something in order to get healing, that Jesus isn't enough. What you're saying is that healing is above the sacrifice of Jesus. It wasn't enough. It's not enough. Healing's more important. So God wouldn't give me healing. He'd give me salvation, but He wouldn't give me healing. That's putting that above Jesus. No, everything is in Him. And I'm accepted because of Him. So when I go in and start thinking, what are the things I can change in 2012? I don't have to make this list and say, I'm going to do it. We can go just what this verse says in Philippians, that He who begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He will complete it because that's what He wants. We want to go and say, I'm going to do this. I'm changing this in 2012 so I can say at the end of it, look what I did. There's people people do that all over the world. They think they're holy, or they think if they don't, they're atheists. They think they're just good people. But that's not what God's looking for. He does not delight in that. We're going to read a scripture. He wants people just to look to Him and just to enjoy life right where we're at, because that next level is a mirage. People do it all the time. Look at Hollywood. Good night. If anybody is supposed to be satisfied with, you know, external appearances, it ought to be them. But look at the people get divorced left and right. They're married to somebody that by all accounts people would say, you know, that's one of the, you know, most beautiful people on the face of the earth, and yet they're divorced after a little bit. If that was going to satisfy him, you think you'd be satisfied. But that's not. You can't be satisfied by looking at it. It comes from within, from a relationship with God. That's just looking at the external. People think, if I had the more money, I'll be happy. If I get a raise, I'll be happy. You won't. You know it. If you lived long enough, you know that's not true. No. We always fool ourselves in, and that's what the enemy will keep us doing, is thinking, I'll be happy if I just get here. And it is just like a carrot putting in front of a horse. You never get there. It just, you walk, the carrot keeps going, keeps moving. Well, you know, you're probably doing better this year than you ever have in your life in a lot of areas. Yet, if you listen to the enemy, you're still not quite where you should be, and you're not worthy. And something in the inside of you just kind of says, but I'm not quite there. It's a lie. Is it true? Of course, none of us are there. But God accepts me in spite of that. Best thing you can say is, yeah, thank God for Jesus. Thank God He's changing me. Yep, you're right. I'm not there. Thank God that I had a Savior that in spite of all that stuff, He loves me. And as I, so then when I go into 2012 and I start looking at things I need to change, that I can just look to Him and say, God, help me. But I know even if I don't beat this thing tomorrow, You still love me. You know what? That gives You the power to beat it. That gives You the power to conquer it. It's when you think I have to change it tomorrow and I'm going to. People do that every year. You know, go to the gym, whatever, set a goal for themselves. They work. You know it. They work to try to reach that goal. As soon as they reach that goal, well, I can do this, I can do that. And pretty soon they're back in the same area. Why? Why? Because they're not satisfied inside. And they're externally modifying their behavior to get to somewhere. But when they get there, now the behavior changes and now they slip back. We don't want that. We want to actually be changed inside. And that comes from actually knowing just that God accepts us and He loves us right where we're at. And I mean, you know, we've heard that He just said, yeah, He accepts us, but I know practically speaking I need to do this. Not true. Are we supposed to live holy? Yes, we are. But it's a lie thinking there's some thing. See, what the enemy will do is tell you it looks like this. And he'll point out the very thing that you're not quite there in. That's the lie. Are we saying you should just live like the devil or just be a, you know, slob and just do whatever? It just doesn't matter. No. But the fact is, we are where we are. And I go back to every one of us is at a different position. We all had a different starting place. And some person that's been given everything, and they can look down on this person that was giving nothing and say, you just are, you know, worthless human being. You don't have it together. When this person that looked like they were giving nothing has made more strides from where they came from than this guy that started out with everything, and he's done nothing with it. Like the talents, done nothing. He hasn't overcome anything. But just because of where he started, he's over. And he has the arrogance to look at these people and say, ah, you're nothing. Now, am I saying everybody should be lazy and you shouldn't do things for him? No. I'm just saying we shouldn't really just look at God, serve Him, do what He tells us to do, do it as unto the Lord, and grow with Him and not worry about whatever anybody else thinks. And not worry about any of these other standards, only the standard of the Word, and only keeping it by Him. That He will do it. That He who begun a good work in you, He will complete it. That He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will do it. As we walk out, we're going towards heaven. He's going to keep working things out in us. He's going to do it. He will do it. Let Him do it. When He does it, it's going to be lasting fruit. You don't have to backtrack. You don't have to keep going over the same ground over and over, because when He does it, it's going to remain. Let's go over to Philemon 4. It says, I thank my God, making mention of you all in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. By acknowledging the things that are already good about you. That's how the sharing of your faith is going to become effective. Not by telling you yourself all the things that you have not acquired yet. That drives you into the ground. When you constantly put a standard in front of you and say, I have to be like this or I'm not good. Yes, I know I'm accepted by God. Yes, I know that. But these are the things I have to do. That drives you right into the ground. That's why we have a Savior. But when you say, thank God that He is my righteousness. I am accepted because of Him. I have the power of God inside of me. And He loves me right where I am. Period. He loves me right now. He's accepted me right now. And He's going to help me to get to where I need to. to go. That gives you the power to go to the next thing. But if you hold it up, I have to be like this. I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to study more. I need to pray more. I need to exercise more. I need. Where's the focus? It's on you. It's on me. You know what that does? It just puts the weight on you and just gets heavier and heavier, and nobody has ever been able to bear that weight. It crushed everybody that's ever tried. The law has, nobody's ever kept it. The people that think they're keeping it are the religious Pharisees. What you have to do to be able to keep the law is to dumb it down to where it fits you. Period. That's what people do. That's called a Pharisee. They said, well, I'm doing this. I'm keeping it. No, they weren't keeping it, just like the rich young ruler. You weren't keeping it. You weren't doing it. You just dumbed it down to where you thought you were keeping it. The real weight of the law falls on people, it will crush them and drive them to Jesus. And any form of rule keeping where you basically say to yourself, I have to do this, or I don't feel good about myself, or this is where I really have to be, and then God will be pleased with me. You may not say it like that, but that's what you feel a little better when you do those things. It's religion. That's rule keeping. That is, because you're basically saying, what Jesus did, yeah, I know he did that, but it's not quite, I know he did that, but I really want to do this, and then I know I just feel better about myself. It's a lie, because you'll never get there. Never. Never. It's a lie. It doesn't matter if you're the best person on, the most holy person, still one thing you lack. Rule keeping will always point out one thing that you lack. Nope, you're not quite there. Nope, you're not quite there. You need some tweaking. Oh, you did well, but here you need to get just a little bit further. Just a little bit further. The flip side is you say, no, I am, because of what Jesus did, I am righteous right now. And he accepts me right now. And so, yeah, I know I haven't done the best in this area, but he accepts me anyway. That gives you the power. That gives you the strength. That gives you the to overcome. And all of a sudden, you find yourself flying over these things that held you down. Why? Because it's not dependent on what you do anymore. It's him. You're acknowledging that what Jesus did. He did it. He did it. And he accepts me. He accepted you 10 years ago. If you've been a Christian 5 years, one, and you weren't anything like you are now. And he was fine with you. Think about it. We'll tell a young person straight out of college if they just gotten saved or if they've been living, God has great things for you. You have your whole life ahead of you. And he wants to do something. Or a young person. Do they have everything going for them? Are they immature in areas? Yes. Will God use them? Yes. But in ourselves, we can get done telling somebody that, yes, God wants to use you, and you can see the imperfections in them, you can see they're immature, you can see they don't do anything, but you'll tell them the word. You'll say, God will use you. God is with you because of what he did. But then we'll turn right around on ourselves and say, God, I'm not quite there. I'm just not, and I want to be there, and I'm just not quite, so you know, you just kind of, your feathers fall a little bit, you're just not quite there. You see the difference? I mean, we'll tell somebody the gospel, but in our own lives, so many times, enemy will subtly say, yeah, you know that's true, but you know what? The truth is, God will use that young person, and he'll use them when they're 10 years further, and he'll use them when they're 10 years further. He accepted us years ago, and you've probably made tons of strides since then. Yet, if we listen to the enemy, if we're looking at self-achievement, we're not there, and we'll still not quite feel like where we should be. And if we're not careful, we'll spend our whole life feeling like that, like we should be doing more. Now, should we? Of course. But the fact is, right now, today, we can be just as content and just as happy in the presence of God, and just as bold and just as comfortable. The voice of condemnation is silenced when you know that God accepts you now. And the fact is, when you really look at it, you know this. I mean, everybody knows this, but we it's so easy to fall back into thinking you just feel a little bit better. You know that you've fallen back into the performance mentality when you feel a little bit better when you do something right. Does that mean, I mean, of course you feel better, but when you feel a little bit closer to God or like, I'm having a good day. Really? We even in our worst day, we should feel like, you know, God's right with me. Nah, he loves me just as much right now. Period. He's with me right now. He's helping me right now. And I'm telling you, some of the times when I've done the worst on stuff, you know what? Sometimes we see the grace of God abound the most in our lives. Why? Because we know it's nothing to do with me right now. And everything you have is looking to him, saying, God, if you don't get me through this, I'm not going to make it through. I mean, have you ever been there? Honestly, has anybody ever had, you've had a bad streak of something, a bunch of stuff going wrong, and you just get to the place where it's like everything you have is looking like, God, if you don't come through, man, help me through this day. I've messed up my schedule. You know, I don't know how I'm going to get back on. I don't know how I'm going to get everything done. God, show me. And you start looking at everything. It's just like everything falls into place. It's like you're just, everything is just going smoothly and everything the way it is. And you had the worst time ever getting there. But where are you now? Completely leaning on his favor. Completely leaning on what he's given. You're just completely back to looking at him. And it's flowing. Why? Because you're looking at it. It's when you start getting back stable or something is, you know, back to where you think it should be and you kind of get your momentum. Okay, I got it now. Now where are you looking to? We're looking to ourselves again. We're not depending on him. We're not depending on him to change it. And really, at that point, then we're just walking like the world. We're walking on self-effort. Get up, you know, and say, hey, I did this. Look at what I achieved. Go write your book, 50 Ways How I Achieved Success, you know. And, you know, that's not what God has for us. Thank God. Well, you know, I don't want to go too far on this. We're going to, you know, pick this up next week, too. But I just want to leave. Let's just read, let's turn over to Psalms 147. Thank God. He'll do it. That doesn't, our part is to look to him. People say, well, what's your part? Don't you think you have to do anything? Yeah. I look at him and I believe what he says. If I'll believe what he says about me, like we just said, God done saying, acknowledging everything that's good in you in Christ Jesus, if we'll acknowledge that, then our behavior changes. Because we actually believe we're worthy of having things. We believe things should happen to us, so we act like it. That's called faith. That's our part. Because our behavior will change when we look to him. It's not reverse. People say, well, if you do all this stuff, then stuff will change. It's not true. I really like this verse. Psalm 147. Verse 10. I'll read a couple verses before it. It says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. Verse 10, he does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. What is that saying? The Lord takes no delight in the strength of a horse. He doesn't take delight in strength of things that are man-made or animals or anything. He made them all. He's not. In other words, he's not impressed by a big, strong horse. He made the horse. He made animals much bigger than a horse. He's not impressed with some guy, you know, that's ripped and looks great and has big muscles. The legs of man. He's not impressed with the professional athletes. We might be, but God's not. He's not impressed with that. He made men. There's been much bigger men on the face of the earth. Giants. He's not impressed with that. What is he impressed with? The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him. Does that mean run away in terror? No. Worship Him. Acknowledge Him. Say, God, You're God. I acknowledge You. He takes pleasure in that. And He can work with that. He can work with somebody that looks to Him. He said, and those who hope in His mercy. What is mercy? Not getting what you deserve. People say, yeah, fine. That's what rule keeping is. It's getting exactly what you deserve. Good? People say, I want to earn it. I want to earn it from God. I feel like I should earn it. You really? You want to earn it? You want to be on that system? Careful. You want to get what you deserve? We all deserve to be in hell. That's what we deserve. And we deserve the worst things. I mean, when you do bad, you deserve to get bad. You want that system? You don't want that system. Nobody wants that system. Nobody has ever been able to live under that system. What you want is grace. You want mercy. What is mercy? It's when you don't get what you deserve. You get caught speeding or something. Not that you should speed. And the guy comes up, the police officer lets you off when you deserve to get a ticket. That's mercy. You deserve it. He says, I'm going to give you a warning. That's mercy. And what does God say? He takes pleasure in those who fear Him, who hope in His mercy. God, I know I'm not everything I should be, but Lord, I look to You. Here You go. Take me. Lord, I know I need to change. But Lord, I'm through trying to change myself. I know I can't do it. Lord, help me to change. Lord, You work it out in me. I give it to You. It's like that man that Jesus saw, One guy says, hey, Lord, I'm so glad, or God, I'm so thankful that I'm not around sinners and all these other people. Another guy said, beats his chest and said, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I don't deserve it, basically. And who did Jesus have favor on? The person that admits that he's not all he should be, but looks to God. That's what impresses God. So as we go into this 2012, look to Him. That He'll do it. He started a work in you, and He's not going to give up. He knows right where we're at. If we're just real with Him, He'll get it done. Thank God.